The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to October 2008.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors and their special guests in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today we have three of our regular panelists and, as I say, a special visiting professor. So let me introduce the panel to you. To my right, from the College of Engineering and Science, the Department of Math and Math Education, and dad to the cutest little critter I've seen in a long time. Aww. It's Professor Jeff Boats.
Hey, I just want to say, since we're taping on Yom Kippur, I'm very, very deeply sorry for everyone I get wrong today.
Okay. I'm glad you made that perfectly clear.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the Day of Atonement.
Anyone you apologize to today, they have to accept your apology.
That's right. That's it. So work it.
I should be expecting a lot of calls.
There you go, hon. Okay. And to my left, you've just heard the voice from the College of Engineering and Science and the person in charge of the pre-college engineering programs. It's Dan, the Dapset Man Maggio.
Hi, Kathy.
Getting ready for the kids to arrive this Saturday, right?
Yes.
Indeed.
We have 650.
Oh,
little critters and older students.
Sweet. That's great.
On campus?
Yeah. Okay. Go forth with the math and science education.
Yes.
I bet. So they're on campus for what, about 8 weeks?
Five.
Oh, dance
used to be
already,
six.
Eh?
Now it's down to five.
Well, hey, you know, that's what can you do? With
as you get older, you reach your limit quicker.
I mean, it's challenging for families, too, to make
I was
that commitment.
Say
so
for
we reduced
the, yeah.
it to five. We kept the same contact hours, but we just did
sure.
it fewer weeks.
Yeah, especially as you get near those holidays. Boy, that's tough,
yeah.
you know.
Very important.
Very bad. And sitting next to Dan, also on my left from the Department of History, its chair, as well as the keeper of our Black Abolitionist Archives, it's Professor Roy Finkenbein.
You betcha, Kathy.
Well, okay, guys and gals. Glad you could be here today.
Guys and gals.
Although, like most she's got to have some Midwest in that family background.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah,
Northern Minnesota.
I knew it.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
flat
yeah.
tone, you can just tell. It's that way.
Not to be too political, but I'm driving into work the other day, and I've got the radio on, and it's talking about the vice presidential debate. And for some reason, I don't know why, but the name Rose Nyland hit me.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Remember Rose Nyland?
Rose Nyland from the...
St. Olaf?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But that same kind of... Yeah. That tone is there.
It's there.
It's there. Yes, there we go. Now, let me introduce our special guest panelist today. This is a new faculty member in our Communication Studies Department who is taking the journalism program under his wing. It's Professor Tom Stanton.
Well, thank you for having me. I mean, this is to be with this illustrious crew is quite an honor.
Okay, Dan, slip those 20s across the table. Could you say that again, Tom? Good man. We're glad to have you with us. Tom is teaching several courses for us and working with our new Neil Shine Media Center here in the Briggs Building, which was a really nice facility, I think, put together by a lot of generous contributions from alums and especially past graduates of the Communication Studies Department.
Beautiful facility honoring a legend in Detroit and
absolutely.
National journalism.
Yeah. And Tom also has responsibility of the Varsity News, which I understand is going online.
Very soon, yes.
Sweet.
It's online, but it's going to go in a more advanced
more
fashion.
Advanced, okay. Is there a website people can access to read the VN?
Well, eventually.
VarsityNews.net. Okay, we'll definitely get, we'll make sure that gets out on the air. So this is a show where you can send us questions about guys and gals, about newspapers or online things, kids, Yom Kippur, whatever. So, yes, L'chaim is back at you. Okay. So if you'd like to participate and send us questions, you can win one of our two fabulous T-shirts, either Ethics Bowl or Tech Day T-shirt. So if you stump us or don't stump us, you still get something to wear, okay? And looks like it's going to stay warm through October, so you want that T-shirt. So, how do you get those questions to us?
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
And in honor of Tom, who also has a great specialty in sports and Detroit sports trivia, we've been holding back some questions because, not that we're bringing in a ringer now, listeners, but...
we like ringers.
But, you know, it's not exactly like, I think, Jeff and I can talk Canadian football pretty well. Roy's got some baseball down, but...
This is like the time, remember the long, long ago in the Smith Media Center, the one time we brought in Devisi Muhammad when we had a list of Muhammad Ali questions?
Yes, that's right. There you go. So, you know, every once in a while it's good to just kind of show a little expertise.
What about me?
Dan the math man. Come on. You certainly do.
About sports?
What are you going to ask him? Chopped liver questions, Kathy?
Well, no, but...
Or
okay, Dan,
Barbara Bowles on ferrets.
If it was a question on curling, Dan, you demand.
I might know the answer.
I know you would skip. I know you would skip. No problem there. Okay. Or if it was, let's see, cathedral prep football. You're the man. You're the man, Dan.
I don't think so.
Dan's alma mater back in Erie, PA.
Erie, PA, if anybody from prep is listening, I challenge you to send in questions and tell me who you are.
Whoa, okay.
Because I'm curious.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see. After all, they heard us in China.
Especially if you're from the class of 83, you might remember me.
Okay.
Send me money.
Send me money. Okay. Well, these are questions from Pat Thompson of Milford, Michigan, and they are miscellaneous sports questions. He did not set a guide for us, so we don't have a marking guide here or anything, guys.
Well, if these are baseball questions, then 300 would be
the Mendoza, the Mario Mendoza line.
Right, now he's
sub 200.
Now, he sent us two sets, actually. That's what I mean. We've been holding on to these because, you know, one is hockey trivia and the other is just miscellaneous sports. So you want to start with miscellaneous sports or hockey?
I'll read the hockey ones. You sit over here.
Dan knows I was tutored by my mother of Kirkland Lake, Ontario, in the game of stick. Okay. Yep. All right. Well, let's try this. Okay. What golfer beat Porky Oliver? I can't believe that. Hopefully that was not...
Sounds like a pool player name.
Porky, Rump Roast Taylor.
I mean, really. Porky Oliver at the 1946 PGA Championship to win his first major. This is amazing because this is a real golf legend.
It's not Arnold Palmer.
No.
Arnold Palmer.
Jack Nicklaus.
No. A little
Ben
early.
Hogan.
Ben Hogan. You got it. Yeah. I love these rings. No,
Porky,
just kidding.
What?
Just kidding. Porky Oliver. That's I'm only reading what's
it's
down here, guys.
Chuck Steak.
I know. Isn't it horrible? I that's so awful. I remember reading the short story one time where they kept referring to a character as Dummy, and then you find out that the poor man is like a deaf mute, and that was his nickname. It's like, how rude. Oh, it's so awful. What multi-nicknamed Yankees great suggested that he should be called the idol of the American boy? And that's IDOL, by the way. Okay, so this Yankee great had many nicknames.
It's not Joe DiMaggio.
No, not Jolton Joe.
Babe Ruth?
Babe Ruth.
Oh, the Bambino?
Yeah, that's... Idol of the American boy.
Sultan of Swat.
Yeah, he had lots of
But never
of
the Yankee Clipper.
Never the Yankee Clipper. Not in, yeah. That, but, yeah, that's kind of sad. Kind of sad the Yankee Stadium closed, too, eh?
It's coming down.
Yeah, that's too strange.
But you got to like Joe Torre. Fired because he didn't get him in the series often enough lately.
Yeah.
And so he's going to do it this year, probably.
Maybe. I know. I'm like, go Joe. Sorry, bro.
You know, this is almost like an analogy. When they closed down Yankee Stadium, it was almost like the Death Star being blown up, you know, the evil empire. But they'll build
a New Yorker?
One, you know?
You're a New Yorker?
Oh, I'm attacking that
group. I'm a Mets fan.
I was going to say Mets guy, yeah. My sister Ann and her husband just, they took the last trip out to see the Mets play the Cubs play at Shea. And the new Shea's going up, like, right across the street. But they said the difference they noticed between Yankees fans and Mets fans, they were wearing the Cubs gear. And while people laughed and joked, there was nothing vicious at all.
Right.
Which is very different from Yankee fans.
True very, enough. Very different.
Very, very different. This two-time All-Big Eight defensive back at Colorado actually won 3 U.S. Open golf titles. Let's see. It's the name.
3 U.S. Open?
Yeah, 3 U.S. Open golf titles.
There's
only
a few of those.
I would say so. Let's see. First name is often a word that's paired with Hardy.
Hardy Boys?
No, not Hardy.
Laurel?
No. let's see. It also refers to a weather condition.
Stormy?
That's somewhat sleet-like, but...
Slushy?
Icy?
Mushy.
I was trying to get to the word hail.
Oh.
It's Hale Irwin.
Irwin.
Oh,
nice.
Irwin.
Yeah, sorry about that.
He was after Whizzer White at Colorado, right?
Yes, that's right, who went on to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We're just loads of worthless trivia here.
What dreaded golf shot occurs when a ball is hit with the hosel of the club?
Chunk?
No, a chunk. I love that though. I wish there was
well,
a
there
shot
are all
called
sorts
a chunk.
Of, there are all sorts of phrases for describing a shot like that, and a lot of them you can't say on the radio.
Yeah, I was going to say,
if you've ever been drinking, you know, with your buddies playing golf.
This would rhyme with the word tank.
Shank.
That's it. It's a shank. Yeah. Okay.
We do rhyming on here?
Wow.
I do sometimes when push comes to shove and
we have no standards.
And we really.
My clue would have been: this is what happens to you if you make a bad shot, you know, playing golf in prison.
There we go. I thought about that, but you know, we don't want to give the image that
Detroit we never lose.
Is violent. That's not good. That we have lost.
We have
lost.
Back in '85.
No. What Brooklyn Dodgers great got his nickname for what he called his shooter when playing marbles as a child? So this is a nickname that he gave to the marble he used when shooting.
Pee-wee Reese, I'm
That's
guessing?
It is Pee-wee, the fame. Yes, indeed.
Finally a baseball question.
Well, yeah, I know. We really do wish that. What's the most common nickname for a Major League Baseball pitcher?
Lefty.
Yes, it is. Is there a reason for that? Is it? I mean, just
half of them.
Half of them are lefty. I mean, you know, there's that. But I just wondered, you know, why not righty? Okay. Why not? What NBA star refuses to have the hot water turned on at his Chicago home because he rarely takes showers there? I don't think this guy's playing for
Stinky.
Chicago. Yeah, stinky. Yeah. This was somebody who played at one time for the Pistons.
Wilt Chamberlain? No.
No.
It's not Dennis Rodman.
Yes, it is. It's Dennis. And there you go, Dan. You answered a sports question, dude. You're so butch.
He's the most least likely athlete.
Oh, he's very athletic.
No, but he has quite the... other life.
I think he just kind of, you know, got different interests, you know, or...
They say that because of Chuck Daly leaving the team that he lost his father figure.
Oh,
kind of
okay,
thing.
So he just kind of went a little over the edge. All right. Mm-hmm. What three 49ers, San Francisco 49ers, have earned Super Bowl MVP honors?
Joe Montana?
Absolutely.
Steve Young?
Yes.
Randy Moss?
No, one more.
No, running back.
Let's see...
Who is that running back? Roger?
No.
No.
Last name is the same as an Oriental food staple.
Rice.
Rice, that's it.
Oh, Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice. Obviously. There
Which
you go.
Which beats the heck out of Joe Wonton.
Yeah, well, no. Could have been Joe Sweet and Sour Soup or something. No, hot and sour, something like that. Who was the NBA Coach of the Year trophy named after? This is a great Boston legend.
Red?
Yes.
Auerbach, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. And what's an NBA player deemed to be if he receives the Maurice Podoloff, P-O-D-O-L-O-F-F, Podoloff trophy?
Best rookie?
No. Good
sportsmanship?
Guess, though.
Is that one of those...
I mean, like Miss Congeniality of the NBA?
I was going to guess on next.
No, that's sort of like the Lady Bing trophy kind of thing. No. This is probably a trophy that's would be much more common, not, or one that one would really seek as being...
best defense. No. No clue.
Most liked.
Best dressed.
Best dressed.
Most likely to be in prison. No, it most is most valuable player.
Oh, really?
That's new to me. I want to know who Maurice is.
No idea that was named after people.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. What's the last name of NFL All-Pro brothers Shannon and Sterling?
Sharp.
Yeah. Okay. And what sport was popularized by Olympic swimmer Duke Kanamuko?
Swimming.
No.
Well, he's a swimmer.
He is a swimmer, but this is a sport. But I mean, he's an Olympic swimmer, but this is something else that hopefully if you participate in this sport that you...
The cannonball.
No. well, think about his name and what it would indicate where he's
Duke?
From.
Duke? What?
Duke.
Sumo?
Kahamoko. So think Hawaiian.
Like karate or judo. Oh, well, he said sumo wrestling?
No.
Hawaiian?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the only thing I can think of.
Hawaiian.
Hang ten dudes.
Oh, surfing.
There we go. Well, no, it's not an Olympic sport, but it was popularized by him. I don't know when Duke was swimming in the Olympics. He might have been like in the 36 games or something. Anybody know when Duke was the popular? While we think about popularity in the 30s, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Live on tape from my dining room, the University of Detroit Mercy presents.
Unplugged.
If we don't get this on the air pretty soon, we'll be too far in the bag to do
I'll
it.
I'll tell you, this is amazing. Yes, the world tour continues and didn't get any farther than this. So.
Hey, this is a great place to be.
Anyway, here we are. The University of Detroit Mercy prevents Asa Professor. As if they could. Try as hard as they might.
Successive generations of administrations have tried.
Tried, and they failed.
We're
That's
still
right.
here, and they're gone. What were their names?
I don't know. What are their names now? Who cares?
And we're back with questions dealing with sports trivia. And they are kind of all over the place, eh? I mean, they really are. They're touching, I think, on every sport known to man and unknown to man. Yeah, there really is. Yeah, I'm sorry. When we get to the hockey, I think we're gonna be rocking in the free world on that.
Dan and I both are gonna read those questions.
Well, this is an exciting hockey day in Detroit, of course, because mm-hmm. they're raising the flag.
Mm-hmm. They still play hockey in Detroit? Mm-hmm. I'm kidding.
Oh, death be not proud, though some say.
As they said last night, Detroit has a chance.
Detroit
for a back-to-back championship for the first time since they last won back-to-back
championships. Yeah. No, it's in fact, it's on Hockey Night in Canada because they're cutting into Coronation Street tonight. So there's going to be a lot of angry women across Ontario not getting to watch their Corey tonight.
I love the fact that they named the American Sunday Night Football Football Night in America.
Did they really?
They did.
That's
a complete
brilliant.
Rip-off. They should rip off the music, too.
Well, they have a new theme to Hockey
Night
in Canada.
And Keith Olbermann should show up in a Don Cherry suit.
Oh, that would be so classic.
Awesome. The Bozo knows, just to emphasize it.
Yeah. No, that I can't believe that they're trying to get a new anthem for Hockey Night in Canada. That's the music to open Labatt's by. I'm sorry. It's just not working for me. Okay.
Oh, Keith's.
Yes, there we go. Who topped the PGA Tour in earnings for 5 years in the 1970s?
Jack Nicholson.
It is.
Nicholas.
Yeah,
oh, Nicholas.
No, Nicholson.
Yes.
I'm trying
Nicholas,
to
yes.
Jack Nicholson on a golf course.
This isn't
course.
Jeopardy, Alex.
The truth. The truth. You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
I was watching Jeopardy the other night, and I usually don't watch it. And the lady gave an answer. It was a two-word answer. And she put a plural, on one of the words. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, no.
Did he?
You
Is
said
that
studies.
Why you hate? You have this pathological thing about
and
Alex Trebek.
That's why I don't watch it.
I know you really dislike Alex, don't you?
They're so anal about it. It's
What
unfair.
Is fascism?
walk around
what
this country right now,
yeah,
Alex.
You know,
get a good taste
I'll
of it.
Remember. He was Jesuit
well,
educated.
Well, there was that episode of
oh, he was.
Where he had to
High
come
school
back
about.
And
I don't dislike Alex. He's just doing his job.
No. It's yes. And somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do
I'll
it.
I'll say this for Alex, though. He was awesome as when he did a guest spot on X-Files as one of the
really?
Men in Black. Him and Jesse Ventura showed up as two men in
that's
black.
That's amazing.
It was
don't
awesome.
Remember that one, but I would like to see it.
Then there was Michael J. Fox and Alex Trebek being shown Canadian Bacon. Remember that
Oh,
scene?
That I do remember.
They walk among
us. Among us. They walk among us, indeed. What decade saw the names first appear on the back of NFL jerseys? So
the 60s.
Dan, you are getting more butch.
There weren't that
minute,
many... There weren't that many choices. I mean, didn't the NFL start in the late 50s, early 60s?
No.
In the 60s, yeah.
It was started. The NFL was in the
30s?
Actually, 20s.
Yeah.
I think it goes back.
Oh, wait.
Early 30s.
But the combined league.
But the first Super Bowl was 61, 62?
66. Okay. And the combined league was a year or two before that.
Oh, I get it. Okay. So how did they tell?
No, the league's actually
just
combined.
You had to know the number, right?
But the Super Bowl started.
You know, you had to follow numbers.
Before that, yeah.
You know, I mean, who is it? Bobby Knight never let people's names on their jersey. You had to know the number. Because, you know, I think some coaches thought it was kind of an ego thing.
The Yankees still don't use.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I thought that there are still teams that's, you know them by their number. You should know your team so well you know their numbers.
Bobby Knight had an excuse, though. When he threw a chair, he could claim that he wasn't throwing at any particular persons. He didn't know their names.
That's a possibility. That could be highly probable. There we go. Who was the only tennis player to have won each of the four Grand Slam events at least four times? This is a woman player.
Martina Navratilova.
No, not
Steffi Graf.
Steffi Graf. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. That I did not know, and
that's impressive.
Ooh. What position must a college footballer play to receive the Davy O'Brien Award? Davy O'Brien.
Center.
That's a great one.
It's not kicker. That's the Lou
no,
Rosa Award.
No, I was going to say yeah.
That's the one I know.
Brewmaster. Sorry.
Water boy.
I don't want to hear get a lot of angry letters from our Irish.
No,
listen.
No. Sure, no. Patty O'Wagan. No.
Quarterback.
Quarterback. It is. Did you do that? All right. Now, did you work that out mathematically? Or?
I had no clue.
No clue. This NBA team charges $600 for a floor seat at the regular season games in 2004.
The Lakers.
It is the LA Lakers. And that's like not even now. I wonder what they charge now.
Who cares? That's why there's a reason you should boycott them.
You know what? Half the people in those seats.
Dad.
Probably
most of the people
in those seats aren't even paying for their tickets anyway, because it's either a corporate sponsorship, wining and dining a client,
right,
or it's an actor like Jack Nicholson,
right,
whose agent is paying him to advertise himself with his presence
right
at the game.
And then there's probably the AIG section.
We're probably bailing out half of those tickets right now.
If you want tickets to the New York Giants, you need to buy a $20,000 license in order to even get in line for
the
Just any tickets?
That's the license. That doesn't even cover the tickets.
Yeah, that's just
to
get a license.
See, why would you go?
Because
you have a waiting list.
Yeah, I was going to say the thank you. I was going to say.
You could get NFL Sunday ticket and watch those games and every other game Sunday.
You can watch it on TV for free.
But there's something about seeing a live sporting event, though.
Yeah, but you know what? Football, unless you're 10 rows up on the 50-yard line, the view at home is better.
I guess the view is better, but I don't know. There's something about being at a live match, you know, just like hockey.
There is.
You
can watch it on telly,
but you hear that ice on the skate, that slap of the stick. I mean, that you can maybe get that on
the
telly.
Hitting
but
the thrill of
victory,
the
agony of defeat.
Tom, help me here.
Oh, it's the atmosphere. That's
it everything. Is. There's just something about the crowd everything. Expensive.
Beer brawls.
No, it's not that. It's
5 cent beer night in Cleveland.
Yeah. No. It's just different that way. Okay, you guys. What's the fastest engine-powered sport?
Speedboat. That one.
Well, that.
The hydroplane.
Yes, John. No, the airplane, right?
It is airplane
racing. What do they call that?
Hydroplane.
They had one in Detroit this summer.
Oh, yeah, that would be faster.
And that's what the answer is, saying airplane racing, but maybe there is a different term for that. But yeah, they had that downtown one weekend in July.
I wanted to go check that out, but we're too busy.
My cousins came over from Windsor. I said, you could have stood on your side of the border and watched this. What are you doing over here? But I guess they claimed the better view was from this side of the river. Okay. Who coached the Detroit Red Wings to 62 wins, breaking Scotty Bowman's mark of 60 when he coached Montreal in 76-77? These were 62 wins in 95-96.
Is that Bowman again?
It's Scotty Bowman. Absolutely. The one and only Scottman.
Our students hate those kind of trick questions. You know that.
Well, do you do those on your history exams, really? Come on.
No, but I actually did go in the other day, and prompted by David Byrne. Do you know David?
Yeah. Oh, I love David Byrne.
And we're talking because I've got him in another class.
Great kid.
And he was asking about the paper. So the other students in Michigan History were getting panicked because they thought they had a paper doing Michigan History. So we played along.
Good man. David is so great. That kid won the Canadian Junior National this year.
Mm.
I mean,
he's golfing for us?
He golfs for us. And that was at Weston Golfing Country Club outside of Toronto, which is like usually MPs and CEO types that play there. That kid learned to golf on the public course out at Amherstburg with his grandpa.
Wow.
Yeah, he's...
He was in my math class when he first started here.
Nice kid.
David Byrne, B-I-R-N-E.
B-Y-R-N-E. Yeah. And,
I wonder if he's the brother of another Byrne in engineering. He's a track runner?
No.
He's actually quite good.
Yeah, but I mean, this kid, he's awesome that way. What team ended 54 years of frustration by winning the Stanley Cup in 1994?
The Rangers.
No, it's the Rangers, absolutely.
I thought it was a trick question.
Now, those are interesting.
I didn't even wait for you to
say I was in grad school, and it was a Canadian, and I don't think he got deported for being a Ranger fan, but he was in America anyway, studying in Pittsburgh, and he was jubilant.
I bet. Oh, yeah. Those are some loyal fans, but they are also... some evil fans, those Ranger fans.
Oh, he's a nice guy.
No, I mean, when the people that sit around the bowl, that was one of their big things, of taking pennies or something and putting them in a hot drink, pouring the hot drink off, taking the hot pennies, throwing them on the ice because they melt down just enough for your skate to hit and send you flying. That was a well-known Rangers trick for many a year.
Sports tips.
Kids do not do that at home or at a rink.
Their own players. How did
But yeah,
they
took you a could, chance. But they
Their
took a chance.
No, it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They. But that's evil. You don't do that kind of
tricky.
Thing. Yeah. I think that's pretty bad. Okay.
I don't know, Kathy. This is my first time here, and I'm detecting a real anti-New York kind of bias here.
Well, no. There are some New York teams I like. St. John's University basketball. I admit.
Roller derby team.
Yeah. I like the Redmen of St. John's. They're pretty decent. I'll cheer for the Yankees when they're playing against, Little Sisters of the Poor. No, there's no. I've got an uncle who's an insane Yankees fan. I had to listen to the legend of the New York Yankees year after year after year.
And the Islanders are harmless enough.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, but it's not all teams that way. Okay. What heavyweight was Tony Two-Ton Galento referring to when he said in 1939, I'll moiter the bomb?
Joe Louis?
Yeah, it is Joe Louis.
The time was right.
Yeah, I was going to say the 39 thing makes that pretty decent that way. Gosh. What Oakland Athletic hit the longest homer in Kaminsky Park history and followed it the next day with one 20 feet longer?
Mark McGwire?
It is Mark McGwire.
It'd be him or Ken Seiko.
Well, that'd be pre or post steroids.
Oh.
I don't think there is a pre or post with McGwire.
Okay, really? It's just all post?
No.
You know, there definitely is a body type change.
There is a pre.
You can see at one point the pimples break out and he starts bulking up.
His head becomes as wide as his shoulders.
Careful around our dean, who is the ultimate St. Louis fan. And this was a hard season for him. Very hard season for him. Oh, well.
But the Cubs did not disappoint.
Is it breaking everybody's hearts as usual?
We had everything but Steve Bartman this year.
Yeah, that was just really, really sad. What Pro Football Hall of Famer was the first to get a second bust in the hall, that is the Pro Hall of Fame, for broadcasting?
Football broadcasting,
yes. Now, this is somebody who goes back and playing in the 50s. In fact, I believe for a New York team.
Oh, Frank
Gifford?
Gifford. Oh. Didn't he? Yeah, I thought he played in New York, didn't he?
But we have to take away a point for Kathy Lee, so.
Has she not redeemed herself yet in the eyes of the world? No, I'm just asking. I don't know. I've never really followed her, never watched
in
her
the
program.
Eyes of innocent Indonesian children.
Children that were. Was it Indonesia? Oh, okay. Well, we'll stop here and we'll continue on next week. But let me thank our panelists. Professor Finkenbein.
Go get him.
Okay. Professor Maggio.
Thank you, my friends.
Professor Boat.
Indonesian. That's where you're not allowed to block in football, right? Then, Indonesian.
There you go. And Professor Stanton.
Thanks for letting me be here.
You're welcome.
It's an Ask the Professor presidential election flashback.
And we're back with our questions from Vicky Faldi, who asks about presidents here and presidents' wives. What is unique about John Quincy Adams' wife, Louisa?
She was a man.
No, that's not.
That would be unique.
Hey.
That would be unique, yes.
Was she college educated?
No.
Was
it
she
foreign
to do born?
With her. Yes.
Yeah, she was born in England?
That's it.
Yeah, okay.
That's it. She's the only first lady born in another country.
Hmm.
Traitor.
Yeah.
And that man was president.
Yeah.
Wow.
But boy. Hillary went to Moscow, didn't she, with Bill back in college?
Yeah, you see.
Probably.
You rest your case.
I think
right
she was
there.
In grade school at the time.
Yeah.
Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Communication Studies Department studio on the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, technically directed, and saved week after week by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is the divine, Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Let's go, Red Wings!